It is a joy to get to come together and to get to look into the scriptures again. I'm going to look at Genesis chapter 37, and I'd like to preach to you for just a little while about the familiar story of Joseph and how he was mistreated, and trust the Lord will get in what goes on today. As you find your place there in Genesis, easy to find the first book, Genesis 37. I did hear this story about this husband and wife that were traveling over in Israel and for business, and they she was certainly surprised that he died unexpectedly. And so after all of the trauma of that, she had to deal with the funeral home and some different things. And the funeral director said, well, we can do it one of two ways. We can do the funeral here in Israel, and it's be a couple $1,000s, and it's very inexpensive. Or we can ship your loved one back to the U.S., but there would be a large fee involved, probably about $25,000 or $30,000 to get him back there and then have the service over there. So she thought for a little bit, wondered what to do. And then she finally came back to the funeral director and said, well, I think I'm just going to go ahead and send him home and do the service over there. And the director was surprised. Said, well, that's a big expense. Are you sure you want to do that? And she said, yeah, that's what I want to do. He said, well, if you don't mind me asking, why? And she said, well, I'm not an over-religious person, but I hear that 2,000 years ago, somebody died and then rose again. I don't want to take any chances with that fella. So we're looking at Genesis chapter 37. You got to love your husband, I guess. This is the passage about Joseph, and he's giving his dreams to his brothers. Just to catch you up to speed, God had given Joseph a dream that the sun, the moon, or the moon and the stars would bow down to him. The sheaths. There was another dream that he was going to see them bow down. It was obvious to everybody that it was his brothers, and even his father and mother. He was talking about in that dream that he was saying would bow. Verse number 8, the Bible says this, and his brethren said to him, "Shall thou indeed reign over us? Or shall thou indeed have dominion over us?" And they hated him yet the more. Obviously, they already hated him somewhat before. Yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it his brethren and said, "Behold, I've dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me." And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, "What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth?" Look over just a few more verses, 18. And when they saw him afar off, now between that first one, they have come to a place where he told them about the dream, but now the brothers are out working and Joseph is coming their way. And when they had saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, "Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into the pit, some pit, and we will say some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams." I'm going to ask the Lord to help us as we look into it and trust that God would do certainly a great work in each of our lives, because I'm concerned about different folks. This story is talking about Joseph and his brothers and the dreams that God had given him. But I'm burdened today for some folks in this room and listening and watching that you've got some dream-killing brothers as well. I mean, you've set your sights to live a life that's God-honoring. You've set your sights to live a life that would please the Lord. Or maybe you've set yourself sights on a marriage that's God-honoring. You'll put people in your family in church, and you've got people that are coming alongside of you, and they're trying to kill dreams just like Joseph's brother did. And I trust that the Lord will help us as we look at this message. I want to entitle it, "Just Mistreated," because that's what Joseph was. There's no reason. But he was mistreated. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Give us these next moments, dear Lord. For your glory, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it made no sense for Joseph's brothers to be mad at him. He was their brother. He was family to them. But it may be just as senseless for the things that are going on in your life when people are criticizing, ridiculing, and trying to steal from you whatever you believe that God has raised you up to do. And sometimes I think about the dream killers that are facing us. Some of them are in your own family, and some of them are surprised or shocked or upset or disappointed that you even find yourself in church this morning. So, well, why would you go do all of that? Today I want to give you twofold purpose of what I'd like to look at. And one is this, that there's no way that you'll figure out why people want to rain on your godly parade. You'll find no reason of why people want to treat you the way they do. Amy and I were at a youth meeting years and years ago, and the pastor that was speaking was not trying to be cynical or wasn't trying to really be pessimistic, but he was just trying to be realistic to the young people. And he said this: in life, you're going to find that life is not fair and people are cruel. Because we've got a society right now, we're trying to even out everybody's outcome. We want everybody, nobody to rise above another. We want equality and we want all things equal. But I can tell you this, if you're waiting for life to get everything evened out so that you have the same outcome as somebody else and everybody's got the same leg up, so to speak, you'll find that you'll be very disappointed, because we come in this country from a long line of people who have taken disadvantaged situations and made the best of them. The people in our history have taken the negative side of things and they've seen it come out to be a positive. But I want to show you that there's no way that you will figure out why people are so cruel. But then the second thing I want to figure out today is and show you the solution to that victory in your life. And I trust the Lord will give us help today. I want you to see, first of all, though, the problem. Look in verse number 5, if you would, of our text. Joseph, he dreamed a dream and he told it to his brethren. It made no sense that Joseph would be the person that they had disdain for, because number one, they had a connection to him. He was their brother. That wasn't something figurative. That wasn't something that they'd said just because they couldn't think of anything else. Sometimes people will serve in the military and they'll say, "These are my brother in arms." However long ago, somebody around churches, because of the scripture, brothers and sisters in Christ, but somebody started the trend of calling people brother. You don't even have to remember people's name. Hey, brother. Hey, sister. Hey, brother. Hey, sister. You can sound like you know everybody. Brother, good to see you. Well, he wasn't that. These were his brothers. Flesh and blood, same daddy. And so these men were the ones that they had a connection to him. And can I say that Joseph had every reason to be surprised and derailed when he figured his brothers were aiming at him. I have two brothers. One, my oldest brother, was in the military, and he came home. He bought me my first ever new pair of name brand tennis shoes. Up until then, there was a... Mom had bought a pair of Nikes, white with a red swoosh on them, and I cleaned those up and used them for a little while. And then one time, starting school, she had found a pair of white high top ponies that need a little bit of scuffs cleaned up. And so I did all that and wore those as our first day of school shoes. But Dan bought me my first pair of new name brand Air Reeboks tennis shoes. Now, when somebody takes your social standing up that high, you don't forget a brother like that. I mean, I'm the first guy that's worn these. It's not hand-me-downs. It's not Kugas. That's what I've been used to at Payless or Kmart Specials or wherever they came from. These were real legit ones, and I thought I was living it up. And you got a brother, you don't forget something like that. Well, these guys were his brothers. And so they had a connection to him, and these were the same DNA. Somehow Joseph had to find a way, though, even though these men shouldn't have done that, he had to find a way to look past that and look to the Lord. Not only were they connected, but number two, they were going to be greatly benefited by him. If you're looking in Genesis, look at chapter 42. You find your place over there. Now, all the story is going to play out that Joseph, he does come to this place where his dreams indicated he would get to. The people did bow down to him. The sheets did bow down to him. And here he's coming, and he's going to find himself giving the food to his brothers. Genesis 42, verse number 25. Then Joseph commanded to fill their sacks with corn and to restore every man's money back into his sack and to give him the provision for the way. And thus did he unto them. We don't have to turn over there, but chapter 44, you'll find again when they come back the second time, he's going to do the same thing again. He's going to bless them. And so not only were these men connected to him, they were going to get great benefit out of this fella. I believe I would have let Joseph alone. I believe I would have let him continue on just by the sheer chance that maybe there was some truth in what he was saying. I don't think I would have wanted to send him. They thought they were sending him to a certain death or at least a horrible life, but instead they just sent him on for God's plan. So they were going to benefit from him. Not only were they connected to him through family. We lived in Middle Tennessee, 20 minutes from the Nissan plant. When we moved to Ohio to help the church up there, we lived 30 minutes from the Honda plant in Marysville. And a lot of people in that region worked at either one of those plants. But there's a lot of people who didn't work for Honda or didn't work for Nissan, but they worked because of Nissan or because of Honda. They would work for a company that worked for Honda. They would work for a little subsidiary. They'd work for somebody who supplied something to them. A friend of mine who lived in Smyrna, he and his brother and his dad worked at this little machine shop that they owned. And they had an 18-month contract to work on some of the machinery out of Nissan. And so there was a lot of people that got benefited by that. Well, these guys were going to get benefit from Joseph. Well, they didn't know it yet. He was just a little bother to them at that point, but he was going to be something big to them. And I think I would have let my chances ride that maybe he knew something of what he was talking about, but they did not do it. These brothers hated him, but that brother that they hated were going to save their bacon here in just a few years. Joseph did nothing to produce that hatred except be his father's favorite, him or Benjamin. I see these two things, and this one, not necessarily in Scripture, but it's a logical deduction you can make. Remember that Joseph, he knew when he was in that prison, he knew that he was in that pit, and he knew that he was in being betrayed, that God was watching him. Well, the same dad that taught him that would have taught his brothers that as well. So you know Reuben and Levi and all those other brothers, they would have been taught these things as well. So not only did these brothers have a connection to Joseph, but they also realized, they would have had to, because Joseph wasn't alone in this knowledge, they would have had to realize that God was watching them. Can you understand that as they were lying to their father, indicating to him, holding up this coat of that he had made for Joseph, holding up with the blood of animals on it, suggesting to him and encouraging him to think that his son had been killed. Can you imagine? There they see their father writhing in pain, and there they see him probably go to a nervous breakdown for a lie that they're perpetrating. I'm thinking of this, that they knew that God was watching. Those brothers, even though they said that Jacob played favorites, they were messed up in their thinking. They were yielding Joseph to have unthinkable things done to him. And then they were allowing their father to live in the pain and anguish that his son had been mistreated and dead. Joe Arthur, who comes to preach here from time to time, he says this. He says, if you can hurt your father and mother, you're a jacked up individual. And I don't know what a jacked up individual is, but you know Joe, it must be something bad. But I've shown you why the brothers shouldn't have treated him this way. But all the way up until now, we've been looking at things that Joseph couldn't have anything to do with, or he didn't have any control over. He couldn't help how his brothers cruelly mistreated him. He couldn't help how they lied on him. He couldn't help how they mistreated him. That he didn't have any control over that. But do you remember probably your kindergarten teacher or your mom when you're in kindergarten told you this? You can't control what they do, but you can control what you do. And so I want to dive into that for just a little bit. Yes, Joseph's brothers were connected. And Psalm 55, verse number 12 says, it was not an enemy that reproached me. It was somebody that walked into the house of God in company. And if you're thinking that everybody that you know and everybody who's a friend of yours right now will never be slighting you, will never mistreat you, my friend, you may have another thing coming. I hope not, but you very well could. But Joseph's brothers, they were connected, and they were the ones that hurt him the worst. They would benefit from him. And they knew God was watching. But I'm going to, before we leave out of here today, I'd like to just get you to think about what you can control. Because there's all kinds of people out in this world, and you have little or no control about what they do to you. You were in Genesis 42. You might have turned back, but look back in Genesis 42 if you would. Since you can't control them, let's look at what you can control. In Genesis 42, verse number 9, we're going to pick back up on the story where Joseph's brothers are coming up there. Now, he remembers him. The Bible says here that they don't recognize him, but boy, oh boy, he recognizes them. These are the fellas. These are the ones coming this way. Chapter 42, verse number 9, well, verse number 8 says, Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew him not. And Joseph remembered the dreams which he had dreamed of them, and said unto them, "Your spies, to see the nakedness of the land." And he was going to play a little trick on them. You say, well, Joseph shouldn't have done that. It's a good thing it wasn't me. If I knew those brothers of mine and they didn't know me, I'd have run them through the ringer. They would have been doing all kinds of crazy acts all over Egypt just to get a little bit of grain. I would have laid it on them. But I love what the scripture says. Joseph remembered the dreams. You see, I don't know whether those brothers of his remembered those dreams that Joseph told him back some years ago, but Joseph had not forgotten. Now, I don't think that Joseph, well, I know Joseph wasn't perfect, and I doubt that he was consistent in his thinking about these things, because I'm sure that when he went to the pit and when he was lied upon, when he was betrayed and all of these things, I'm sure there was often times when he said, I think that God has forgotten me. When he forgotten after he told the dreams of the butler and the baker, when he got forgotten, he probably thought they weren't the only ones who forgotten me, that God certainly has forgotten me down here. I'm not sure. But there came a time in Joseph's life when he remembered the dreams that God had given him. And I'm looking at some folks this morning, and I believe that God has done a work in your hearts. God challenged you to marry that sweetheart of yours. God challenged you to start that family. God challenged you to start that business. God challenged you to start that Sunday school class or get on that bus or to help that usher or to go down, be some help in the community. God has birthed things in all of our hearts. And I'm afraid that we've got a cruel world that tries to beat us down, and if we're not careful, we'll allow ourselves to stay beat down instead of remembering like Joseph did that there was a dream that God gave me. And so if God has given you a family and you see that family going through heartaches right now, may I remind you that God is not done. Just like God wasn't done with Joseph, God was going to raise Joseph back up when you'd seen him down in the pit, when you'd seen him sold as a piece of property, as wicked as it was, when you saw him in all those positions, you may have thought that this boy is never going to make it, but he's the same one sitting second to the king in that land of Egypt, and he's the same one that God promoted right back up. And so if God has led you to do something, my friend, God has given you those children, God has given you those grandchildren, God has given you that business, God has given you that influence, whatever it is, you may find that you're down and out right now. You may feel like it's going difficult for you, and you may feel like, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this, but may I challenge you to be like Joseph when he saw those brothers coming. It all came rushing back to him. Joseph remembered the dream. God brought it back to him. And may I say to you this morning, you cannot control what those brothers of yours do. You cannot control what this wicked world does that's cruel. But you can control what you stay your mind on. The Bible says that God would keep you in peace whose mind is stayed on him. And my friend, you and I can keep our minds stayed on the ability of God. You can keep your mind stayed on this. There are folks right here in this room, you're worried about what health care is going to look like for you as you age. You're worried about what the next step for your children is going to be. But my friend, God didn't bring you up to this point to drop you off now. May I remind you that he's going to take care of the things in your life. He will never leave you nor forsake you. My friend, don't buy into the lie that the wicked one is putting to you, that God's somehow going to leave you all alone. Joseph remembered the dreams. You're in 42. Look at chapter 50, if you would, of Genesis, same book. Probably one of our favorite verses in this whole book. This is You'd think that Joseph's brothers would have got tired of lying because they lied and they told their dad and they got caught in that lie eventually. But now they went up, got their dad, Jacob, they brought him down, and he's died. And so they're conspiring with each other. Well, Joseph ain't going to be happy now. He may have laid off of the punishment while dad was alive, but now we're surely going to get what's coming to us. So what do? They do the same thing that they've been knowing to do all their life. They lie. And they come back to Joseph and they said, now dad told us before he died, liar, liar, robes on fire. Dad didn't tell you any of that. But now dad told us before he died this, this, and this. You need to be good to us. That's the West Virginia version. But look at chapter 50, verse number 20. Well, look at 19 first. And Joseph said unto them, fear not. For am I in the place of God? Now, before we get to verse number 20, you got to come to verse number 19. And he found himself excusing himself from the position of the Almighty. And I know that sounds crazy, but there are some folks that I know that they need to excuse themselves from having the position of the Almighty as well. because we need to quit trying to right every wrong. We need to quit holding people accountable. We need to quit trying to fix everything, because Jesus, God still says that vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. He hasn't taken a vacation from his throne. He hasn't taken a little leave of absence. He is still the same powerful God that he ever has been and always will be. And my friend, he still says that he'll right every wrong. And so when you and I take that position of his, we find ourselves in territory that we're never supposed to be in. My friend, let it go. First of all, he says in verse number 19, am I in the place of God? Boys, you're coming telling me all this stuff. I wasn't going to have your hide anyways. Now, you and I would have. We said, we got our chance now. You throw me in the pit once, I'll throw you somewhere worse than that. But he says, am I in the place of God? So first of all, he finds himself relinquishing God's authority to God. That is a novel thought, isn't it? Just letting it go. Now, does he have to? No, God's going to take his authority whether we have at it or not. But he, for Joseph's sake, it helped him out a lot when he relinquished God's authority to God. God, it's yours. Am I in the place of God? And then our favorite verse in 20 comes up. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people. Now, we would call this phrase, a modern vernacular, taking one for the team. We would look back, if you were a friend of Joseph when he was being betrayed, if you'd have been there and you could have somehow found him when he was sold as a slave, and you knew some of his brothers, and you knew their conniving ways, and you got to Joseph, you'd have said, Joseph, this isn't right. There's no way you should do this. No way this should have happened to you. If we could have found him in the prison, we'd have said, Joseph, there's no way this should be happening to you. We would have asked Joseph the same question that I get asked probably more than most, at least in the ministry, and that is, why do bad things happen to good people? Because Joseph was the best of the best, certainly better than those other Yahoos that sold him into slavery. And we'd have been right there along. We said, Joseph, this isn't right. Why is this happening? But now that we have the advantage of looking back over it for these thousands of years, and we look back at the story, we're thankful to the Lord for all those people that Joseph, now back to our modern vernacular, we're glad that Joseph took one for the team. Because quite literally, Joseph got abused, sold, mistreated, ungodly and unheard of things done to him, I'm sure. But he did all of that to physically save that entire region. And if we'd have been around there in that day, we said, Joseph, thanks for taking one for the team. Joseph said, am I in the place of God? No, the answer. And then he came to that logical conclusion. You meant it for bad. I can't right every wrong, and you can't right every wrong that everybody does to us out there. You meant it for evil. But God meant it for good. And not only did he mean it for good, it was actually going to do good to many people. And I'm afraid that some of us in this room, we may be holding on to something that happened so long ago that you need to apply Genesis 50 verse 22 in your life. Somebody did mean it for evil, but God can recycle that stuff and mean it for good in your life. Joseph could have stayed a bitter, ugly, no help brother to any of those guys. And obviously, human nature could have, should have, would have taken over when Joseph saw his brothers that we may give food to everybody else, but we ain't giving it to you guys. He truly did have to have had a time when he gave it to God. And my friend, this morning, I don't deny, or I would never argue with you that you've been mistreated. I don't doubt it at all. Joseph was. Other scriptural characters, the best of the best, were mistreated. So I don't doubt at all that you have been as well. So I'm not going to argue with that, with you on that. But what I am going to tell you that as long as you keep that all right here, there's going to be very little that you'll be able to do for your family, for God, for yourself. You're going to have to turn it over to God and say like Joseph did in verse 19, am I in the place of God? We all know God's big enough to right every wrong. And what I'm asking you to do today is us to start living like it. Give it to Him. One of my favorite phrases of old preachers, give it to God. It's so freeing. Give it to God. And my friend, if there's something, a mistreatment in your life, maybe an unthinkable thing that you'd never want to say, and you need to give it to God. A pastor's wife, when she was a small girl, had her mom taken from her through a car wreck at the fault of somebody else. Didn't have a sweet 16 birthday party with mom. She wasn't there. Wasn't there for any of the kids to be born. Mom was gone long before. Wasn't there, graduation, high school, all those things. And there's events like that that happen in many of our lives. But some people, it just cripples them. It embitters them. And it starts them on a life of decline. This particular pastor's wife had the chance to meet the person who was at fault in the accident that took her mom. You would think that at best it would be a very cool reception, and at best it would be a very tense situation. But though that family was able not only to tell that person that caused the loss of their mom, we forgive you, they're also able to lead him to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. He was born again. You know how that happens? It happens when Genesis chapter 50, verse number 20. Somebody, person maybe, well, whatever, circumstances, life, something, you meant it for evil, but God was going to take it and work it for good. I believe we serve a God that is bigger than the circumstances you're facing right now. I believe we're serving a God that can take the difficulties that you're having right now, and they may even seem insurmountable. I doubt Joseph knew how he was going to get out of being sold as a slave to the Ishmaelites. I doubt he had the plan. One of these days, this is what's going to happen. But he remembered the dreams that God had given him. And my friend, maybe today you came, God brought you to reach way back to something that God did in your life. And you've been beat down so much. You've been kicked and mistreated so much. You began to doubt, or maybe you just full-fledged completely doubted that it would ever come to pass. My friend, I'm asking you to reach back there and get it with the help of God and be like Joseph and say, I remember the dreams that God gave me. I'm convinced that many of the folks that we live around are living a shell of their former self because they've let all of the mistreatments of this earth, they've allowed it to keep them down, to never pick their head up again, to be a blessing to their family, their society, their church. And I would love to tell them this morning that let God raise you up and do what only He can do in your life. If that's you this morning, I trust that you do a holy business with God and say, Lord, okay, I remember. Father, would you bless us now as our prayer? I thank you, Lord, for the chance to be here this morning. Lord, sometimes folks, we would think, well, we just happened to get here this morning. I believe you've gathered us together, dear Lord. I believe there's people listening online and on the radio because you've gathered them around our way. There's people sitting right here in this room, not really sure why they got here this morning. They maybe think it was just a whim or a person to invite them, but Lord, you had a purpose for them being here. And I believe you've worked it together for this time in your word to help us. And Lord, I pray if there are some Christian brothers or sisters that are beat down by all that's happened in their lives, that they would this morning find the strength like Joseph did to say, I remember. And maybe there's somebody here, Lord, that's unsaved. And my friend, if that's you this morning, if you're unsaved, I didn't preach toward that end. But if you're here and you're not saved, you're not sure that Jesus is your personal Savior, when we stand in just a moment, my invitation to you is, please come. Brother Daniel will be right down here in the front. Would love to take a Bible and show you how you can be sure heaven's your home. Jesus is your Savior. Your sins are forgiven through the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't do anything about your sin, but Jesus can. Maybe you have some other spiritual need. Maybe you need to be baptized. You'd like to come present yourself. Maybe you need to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Come to present yourself for that. Whatever your need is, let's not go out these doors without doing all that God has birthed in our heart to do. And at the very least, each of us need to look at the dreams that the world has tried to shatter and say, God, with your help, I'm going to see them accomplished. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, if you're able, stand together as the ladies play something through. If God spoke to your heart this morning, I invite you to come. I don't know what's on your heart, what heaviness is there, but God does. I invite you to come. Brother Daniel's right down here in front of the pulpit. Would love to take a Bible and show you how you'd be saved if you're not sure about that. Maybe you have some other prayer need. Maybe there's some things going on in your family. You just need some brother or sister in Christ to pray with you. Won't you come? Turn your eyes upon Jesus is what they're playing. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Oh, my soul. We need to turn our eyes upon Jesus. We've been looking at the obstacles too long. We've been looking at the dream killers. We've been looking at those that are trying to crash down. They're trying to sell us into slavery, trying to sell us into a pit. But my friend, we're not serving those enemies. We're serving God, serving the Lord of Lords. We are more than conquerors, the Bible says, through Christ that loved us. Well, thank you. You may look this way. Thank you for being in church this morning. What a joy. I trust it was a wonderful time for you, and thank you for gathering your family, folks of all ages. We're so thankful for that. I wanted to just remind you that as you leave, these invite cards for that 245th birthday is coming up. These are out there in the lobby. Please take some of those and pray about who you could have with you on one or the other one of those services, and we certainly would appreciate that. My wife Amy and I will be back in the back. If you need anything, please stop by. And then also, if you're a guest with us today, please take that Connect card and drop it by guest services. They'll have that gift for you. And then Thursday, if you are interested in going to the boonies over by Davis boat dock, then Brother Nathan will be back there with me in the lobby as well. You can ask him any questions, and so we've got a lot going on. We want you to be a part of all of it. So good to have Brother Jordan Smith. Why don't you come up and pray for us? He's not always here on Sunday mornings. He's out preaching somewhere else, and you may be looking at him. He's only half the man he used to be. When I first met him, he was much more of a man, but he's slimmed down, and he's worked hard on that, but thank God for he and his family. Why don't you pray for us and ask God to bless us as we leave.
Father, we do thank you again for another opportunity, Lord, to be at your house. Lord, I thank you for your rich word, Lord, that was shared this morning. Lord, no doubt many of us have been mistreated. But God, I'm thankful for your grace, Lord, and how you lead and guide. Lord, I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that you'd bless each one of us this evening. Lord, bring us back at the next appointed time. In Jesus' name, amen.